Summer's almost over, and our series is almost over. We're studying Proverbs this summer. Every single week of this summer, we've been in Proverbs, and we have enjoyed looking at all the different principles from the Word of God. We just believe that a life hack is a better way of doing things, and so today we are going through some of the best ways to look at work and rest, and some of the principles from Proverbs on work and rest. And we're looking forward to instruction on diligence and rest and balancing that. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 21 says, "Let not, my son, let not them, the words of wisdom, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck." Then it says in verse 24, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." You ever had a really good night's rest and how that just fills you up? We're going to talk about the renewal of rest in Christ. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would please use the message today from your word. Use these principles, God, to guide us into a work-rest balance here on this Labor Day weekend. I pray that you would use all of the truth to do a work in our hearts. May we respond to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So as many of you know, we secured a piece of property down the street. Elizabeth Lake Road is where it's located. And when we got the property, we started to kind of explore where it was and what was there. And we noticed that there were a few bees around. And I thought, well, there's probably some hives in the trees or whatever. And we didn't realize that some of the old buildings that were there, there were huge hives. I mean, massive 6 foot tall beehives at this property. And I was admiring one of them. I was taking videos. This is one of the videos that I took, and I was just looking at, and there's honey dripping. We got all the bees off and we pulled it all open, and it's just honey. And man, I tasted some of this honey, and it tasted like guava. I mean, it was just so good. It was awesome. And then someone said, "Hey, they just sprayed those with chemicals, you know?" And I thought, well, I guess I'm okay. I'm still alive. But it was just amazing how much honey was there. Now, it's interesting. The Bible talks a lot about honey. And in fact, in Proverbs, it talks a little bit about honey. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 16, it says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient to thee," or for thee, "lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Meaning, too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. And the Bible also talks in Proverbs about milk. And it talks about how when you're diligent and to know the state of your flock, in Proverbs 20, I believe it's Proverbs 24, Proverbs 24, 24 and 27, how when you know that, then you, when you're tending your flock and when you're tending to the goats and the cattle, then you'll have enough. It's 27, 23, and 27. You'll have enough milk for you and your household, that when you're diligent, it gives you the benefit or the blessing of milk. And so honey talks about as sweet, okay? And milk is talked about in context of diligence. Now, we just read, before I prayed, the fact that when we're walking in wisdom, that our sleep will be sweet. So here we have two pictures in the Bible, sleep that's sweet, honey that's sweet, and then you have diligent to know the state of your flock, and it produces milk. And then you notice in the Bible how when God introduces himself to Moses, he says, "Hey, I'm going to take you out of this incredibly difficult regimen of being enslaved in Egypt." And in Exodus 3, you can see this. He says, "I am that I am. I'm Yahweh. And I'm going to take you out of this difficult land, and I'm going to allow you to come to a land of rest." And here's how he describes it. It's a land that's flowing with, look at what it says in the very last line, with what? Milk and honey. Now, I grew up hearing these verses, and I honestly thought that these verses said that there was like literally rivers flowing. Like I just pictured a Willy Wonka chocolate factory, chocolate milk river, you know, with waterfalls. And then, you know, there's streams of different kinds of honey. I don't know why I pictured that. Well, here's why God described the land that he was going to give to Israel as the land that flows with milk and honey. Can you bring up that milk and honey for me? I want to give you this picture because a lot of times in the Bible, obviously Jesus spoke about honey, and there's lots of mentions in the Bible of milk and honey. And the reason why is because milk is something that is produced through diligence. Milk, okay, and good milk has the red cap, okay? Don't do the reduce thing. That's like a trap that they try to get you. So real milk, okay, does not come from the store, ladies and gentlemen. It comes from cows, okay, or goats. You cannot milk almonds. I don't want to burst your bubble, okay? But it comes from diligence. So when you're diligent, this is the product of that. Now, I grew up in Iowa. Some of you think that I just like went out in the morning and, you know, for my breakfast I milked cows. That's not a great picture, but I was around the process and I knew this. Every single day, you have to milk the cows at the exact same time, and it's hard work. It takes lots of diligence to get just a little bit of milk. But I will tell you this as well, that honey is the exact opposite. Honey will happen if you want it to or not. We found that out of the property. Honey is a product of the bees working. You are receiving something that's sweet. You are receiving something that tastes good, that is good. It is a picture of rest. It is something that you receive that is good to you, that even has health for you, that renews you. But it is not something that you have to do. It is something that you find or you receive. Okay, can I give these things to you? So now that we have the picture of rest and diligence, let's go back to the Word of God and let's see what it says a little bit about entering into God's rest. Because the rest that's sweet, that was talked about in Proverbs 3, a picture of the honey, it comes after we've done the production, and here's the key thought, the production of work, which is the picture of milk here, that's required. It brings this need for renewal and rest, and without the investment of work, the rest loses value. Meaning when we're working, we're valuing rest. And when we're valuing rest, it's fueling us up for our work. Now, I don't know what your work schedule looks like, or if you're in between jobs, or maybe you're just working incredibly hard and you just need this right now. But here's a life hack, and this is something that I try to look at, and I'm not great at this, and I'm learning, and I'm growing, and we need to grow together in this area. But I would encourage you to look over your calendar and look for intentional times that you're going to rest. I have to do this. Maybe you're really good at rest. Maybe it's just intuitive for you. But I think it's important for us to say, hey, how am I going to renew? And what are the seasons that I'm going to really push? But what are the seasons that I'm going to rest as well? And so watch and look for rest, work, balance. Evaluate that. Now, here's some principles from Proverbs and from the Word of God on balancing rest and work. Number one, I want you to see that there is renewal in receiving rest. There's renewal in receiving rest. Now, when the Bible talks about rest, like for instance in Proverbs 29:17, it says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. The word rest there is the word nuach, and it actually has the same suffix or root as ruach, which is the word for breathe or for spirit. So when it says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, in verse 3 it says there was darkness, right? And then the Spirit of the Lord moved on the face of the waters. Well, when it says spirit, it's talking about the breath of life. God was breathing life into the world, and that's the word for spirit as well. But I want to break down all the different phrases and definitions found in Scripture because I think this will help you to understand God's picture of rest, not ours. So the word rest here is to have a break long enough to breathe, to allow or appreciate the need for calm, to deposit free space, to give the gift of comfort, to place yourself in idle or pause, to lay down or lay aside your work and busyness, to leave room for silence, to quietly settle down. Our culture is addicted to noise. Our culture is addicted to busyness. Our culture is addicted to anything except for silence. We label silence as awkwardness. We are constantly wanting more stimulation. We want more, more, more. And what it does is it exhausts us. And so when we see that God is calling us to a place of rest, we need to understand what that place is. It's not just our bed. It's not just our house. It's actually His presence. And actually in Exodus chapter 33 in verse number 14, it says, this is God speaking, He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." I'm going to give you nuach. I'm going to give you this rest, and it is found in my presence. And by the way, Moses said to him, "If your presence go not with me, carry us not hence," meaning we don't even want to go to a place that you said would flow with milk and honey, that would be rest, that would be far more restful than the place we're in. We don't want to go there if your presence is there, because we can be in a place with a lot of sleep and with a lot of food and with a lot of great things going for us, but if your presence isn't there, it truly will not be renewing. It won't be rest. So that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 132:13, he says, "The Lord hath chosen Zion. He desired it for His habitation. This is my rest forever," he says. "Here will I dwell, for I desired it." For I desired it. Now, Augustine said this, and this is, I've used this quote before, but this is so goes to the core of who we are and how we were created. "But thou hast created us for thyself, O God. And our heart is not quiet," or not at peace, not at rest, "until it rests in thee." The reality is, culture wants rest to be a vacation. Culture wants rest to be a destination. Culture even wants rest to be a routine. But the reality is, rest is a gift from God. True, spiritual, emotional, relational, mental, and even physical rest is a gift from your Creator. And it is not the goal of doing work. And I will tell you, I know this is countercultural, and I know it seems just totally foreign to say that. But did you know that rest is not the goal of work? We do not work for the weekend, as the song says, just working for the weekend. We're not so focused on our next vacation that that's what we're living for. Friends, God has given us the gift of work, and He has complemented the gift of work with the gift of rest as well. So what does that look like? Well, here's a life hack. Rest is only a good gift as long as we don't make it the goal. The moment rest becomes the goal is the moment we start doing something in the rest or trying to derive something out of that pause, that sleep, that moment. We're trying to get something out of it that God never intended us to get out of it. And we will actually feel more restless after a vacation or after a day off than before it. Why? Because we need to focus on the fact that God's the giver of it. When we forget that God is the giver of rest, we come into a time of pause, thinking that sleep is the only thing we need. Now listen, you can sleep really, really good and still be emotionally and mentally exhausted. Have you ever woken up out of a really good night's sleep and you're saying, "I think I'm tired than when I went to bed"? Like, how's that the case? And you know, sometimes, man, some people, man, they sleep hard. Any hard sleepers in the room, right? I'm a pretty hard sleeper. This guy's a really hard sleeper. Look at this guy. I mean, wow, what is he doing? He is just, that's enough, right? I mean, it's like, I can't even, how would you sleep with this guy in the room? Thank you, guys. That's enough. guys in the booth. Yeah, hey, we want to hear this guy snore. Listen, you can sleep hard and still be restless. And so when Jesus said to come unto me, Matthew 11:28, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he wasn't just talking about sleep. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Listen to this, not for your body. There's more important rest. There's rest for your, say it with me, souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden that culture gives you is absolutely exhausting. It will burden you, it will put pressure, it will be like an elephant on your chest, it will cause panic attacks, anxiety, it will be more than you can handle. When you are carrying your burdens, you will be incredibly exhausted. But Jesus said that there's a rest that you can find for your soul in him. And so when we receive this rest, how do we do that? Well, Jesus, on the day of Sabbath, which was his day of rest, the Shabbat, right? He goes out and he starts picking corn. He's like, hey, I'm on a day of rest, but I'm gonna eat. And the religious people are so fixated on religiosity that they're not gonna take a break from their religion on the day that they're supposed to be taking a break. And they go after Jesus. And Jesus says, hey guys, the day of rest is not just about not doing anything. It's about relationship with me. It's about your focused relationship with your creator. In fact, he says in verse 8 of chapter 12, right after he says, hey, come unto me and I will give you rest, rest for your soul. In Matthew 12, in verse number 8, he says, the Son of Man, talking about himself, is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of rest. So what does the Lord of rest want to teach us about rest? Well, first, that we can receive renewal for more than just our body. But secondly, I want you to see this, that there's an actual way that we can overvalue rest, that we can actually make rest into this thing that it's not, and we can value sleep and we can value just chilling more than pouring back into ourselves what we have poured out into life. So number two, I want you to see that there's danger in overvaluing rest. Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs 20 and verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Now I love this because I love bread, but I also love this because it says open your eyes. You ever have a hard time in the morning opening your eyes? Like, oh man, I just don't want to wake up. You ever tell yourself the lie that 5 more minutes will make you feel better? Anyone ever tell you that? Have you ever been dreaming and your alarm, your mind was so tired, it worked your alarm into the narrative of your dream? Have you ever had that happen? I was in college and my roommate Shay, he had to get up and go to the airport. And I was so tired. His alarm was going off. My alarm was going off. We're in the same room, in our dorm room, at college. He's going to be late for us. We didn't know. We were both dreaming about each other's alarms. And we were like, had this epic dream about how like there are alarms going off and like we're in a war or something, you know. We wake up. He's like, oh my goodness, we're going to be late. You know, he risks my life and his life trying to get to the airport on time. Why? Because we thought, man, we needed rest. Now, I want to tell you something, that diligence will open our eyes to the opportunities that God has. Diligence will open our eyes to the thing around us, but when we stay asleep, either spiritually or physically, when we're sleeping at the wheel, per se, like it says in Proverbs 26:14, it says, as the door turneth upon its hinges, so the slothful upon his bed. When we're so leaning into relaxation that we miss God's purpose, when we're not pouring out the way that God called us to, when we're not awake to what's happening around us. See, there's a lot of people who are woke, but they're not awake to what's happening in our culture today. There's a lot of people who are just completely asleep on social media, just gazing at other people's lives instead of doing what God wants them to do. There's a lot of people that are asleep to God's purpose and plan for their life because they're not willing just to say, hey, God, what would you have me to do? There's a lot of people that are asleep in their childish cycle of just doing what they want to do instead of doing what they need to do. Now, look up here. Life's priorities are tough to manage. And I have empathy with every commuter and every person who says, "Pastor, there's a lot of things I am, but lazy's not one of them." Let me just speak to the exhausted group. And maybe you're here and you're like, "I got 12 hours of sleep last night." Could you just pause for a second? Let me just talk to those of us who didn't. Have you ever been so exhausted that you just were sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you ever been there? I've been there. Well, let me put it to you in a picture. It's a lady coming home from work, picked up pizza. I mean, she's just exhausted. She's on the train, long commute. Look at that. Don't you have just empathy for her? First of all, I mean, what a waste of a pizza, right? Secondly, I have no idea what's going on in her life. But it breaks my heart. She's exhausted. She's physically drained. Now, I want to keep that picture up because I want you to think about something. Many of us are so, maybe we're physically rested, but we're so strung out and so exhausted with fighting with our kids or our spouse, or we're so depleted when it comes to spiritual things. Oh, we're full when it comes to physical rest, but man, we're barely making it on spiritual rest. And Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 30 says, "I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Lo, it was grown over with thorns and thistles and covered the fence thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yea, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall poverty come as one that traveleth, and the want as thy want as an armed man." You see, things often happen all at once that have been happening behind the scenes and under the surface for a long time. And someone who's lazy or a sluggard, man, the soul of the sluggard, it desireth and hath nothing, Proverbs 13:4 says. But when we're living a life that is diligent, when we're living a life that is putting our hand to the plow and doing what God has called us to do, we are unwilling and not going to allow ourselves to make excuses for something that God has allowed us or called us to do. Let me explain it to you this way. An excuse is something we all make, but it's what's mentioned in Proverbs 26:13, that the slothful man saith, "There is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets." There's always something that we can say. The reason I don't rest, the reason why I don't have spiritual rest is I can't come to church. The reason why I don't have spiritual rest is I just don't like reading my Bible. The reason why I don't have spiritual rest is because, man, I don't have time to pray. And I would just tell you, you don't have time not to pray. You need this. But we make excuses for why we can't rest, and we make excuses for why we don't work. And really, an excuse is the possibility of a truth. It's possibly true, we don't know. But it's the possibility of a truth that's wrapped or packaged around a lie. And it's the thing we buy because we don't want to accept responsibility. Instead of accepting personal responsibility for what God has called us to do, the work that needs to be done, the things that we need to do, the rest that we need to put in, the renewal that needs to happen in our life, because we don't do those things, we often rely on excuses. And it's just refreshing when you just hear someone say, "Hey, I'm just going to take personal responsibility for what I've done." That's this little girl.
Were Listen you a good girl or were you naughty?
I was naughty.
You were naughty today? How come?
Because I wanted to tie bells.
Were you dead? Why were you acting naughty?
Because I hit Abby Moncrief.
Why did you hit Abby Moncrief?
Because I did so bad. Because I was naughty.
Listen, you know, you can make excuses or you can make something happen. And until we're open, transparent, honest, and willing just to steward an opportunity, we will always be going in the cycle of excuse mentality. It's someone else's fault. This is why I'm this way. This is why I can't. This is the problem. This is why I don't have a solution. This is why I can't get rest. This is why this has happened. Listen, we can live in the deep sleep of excuses, or we can live a life based on priorities and goals based on God's word. And here's a life hack: that when we live for priorities and goals, not just for what feels best in the moment — culture says, hey, just live for what feels good in the moment — when we live for that, we will live outside of the regret and emptiness that's mentioned in Proverbs 19:15. He says, the idle soul shall suffer hunger. There's an emptiness when we don't live out the goals and priorities that God's placed in our heart. You know you should be in small group. You know you should be in church. You know you should be doing these things. You know you should work on your relationship. You know you should do these things, and you know that the benefit will be good. But oftentimes we step back and we thought, no, I want my comfort zone. And when our comfort zone is keeping us from our goals and our priorities, I'm telling you, we are overvaluing rest. We are putting the priority on rest instead of diligence. But there's a balance there. And so number three is, there is value in needing rest. So just as receiving rest is more than sleep, and just as overvaluing rest is like too much sleep, too much comfort, we need to understand that God has made us to work and to expend so that we will need rest or want rest. And so here's this. In Proverbs chapter 6, in verse number 6, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in her summer and gathereth her food in her harvest. Ants are incredible, but the leaf-cutting ants are incredible above all the other ants I've ever studied. Look at this.
And it's the same for ants. They are fungus tycoons. Their colonies are true underground cities with a bottomless need for resources. Having this reliable source of food has given them the luxury to specialize. Leafcutter ants have the most complex division of labor of any ants. There are tiny worker ants and large worker ants and enormous half-inch long soldiers that protect the colony.
Did you guys see all the food that was stored? Every little white piece of fungus that's growing will last through the entire winter and give them all the nutrients and food they need. They don't just cut the food and store it. They cut the food, and if you watch the whole video, they cut the food and they package it and they put it in the right place, and they put it evenly, and they get it to the part where it'll grow, and then it'll grow the fungus, and then the fungus will keep them, and then they'll go out and get more in the spring, and it's just this constant cycle where they're working with purpose. And ants teach us this greatest lesson, that consistency is always greater than intensity. That consistency, just a little bit of consistency over time, will allow us to move beyond what we are wanting to be comfortable in the present. Just little bite-sized chunks of diligence will bring a great sense of completion, will bring a great sense of harvest in a great amount of time. And so here's a life hack. The more we rest at the end, not in the middle. And that's something that Kobe used to always say, hey, don't rest at the middle of the practice. Rest at the middle of the game. Rest at the end. Like, push yourself, right? In our house, we say work first, play later. But the more we rest at the end, not the middle, we will move past, or we will lose the desire to choose what is easy over what is best. God is constantly calling us to a life of faith that is just beyond our comfort zone. We have to live a life based on what he says is best, and that's a life of wisdom. What he says is best, not just what is easy. And by the way, what is easy will always be there. The easy way will always be there. It will always be calling you. Come here. This is easier. This is your comfort zone calling you. Stay with me. But a life that is lived in wisdom is a life knowing that a little discomfort now will bring a great harvest later. Now, have you ever been asleep at you know, or really, really tired at work, and and you know someone comes around the corner and you were a little asleep and you kind of act like, oh no, I wasn't sleeping, you know. You kind of come out of it. Well, I'm not going to show the video, but you know, there's a lot of different types of people who need more sleep or who are naturally drowsy or whatever. When we talk about that physically, I think it's important for us to understand that God has made us to take personal responsibility for the things that we can do. You say, I don't need 8 hours. I need 10 hours. Pastor, man, on my day off, I have to do things. Like if I don't do things, then I won't. And I get all of that. But I believe that God can allow us the balance to do what he's called us to do with the time that he's given to us and to make the changes that we can make. You see, there's some things that you can't do that's out of your control. But bondage, and here's a key thought, bondage is inevitable when we become unwilling to accept personal responsibility for what we can change. Now, our culture complains about what we can't change. Our culture says, hey, we complain about the government, can't change them. We complain about interest rates, can't change that. We complain about all of these things that we can't change. And God's saying, hey, I want you to be diligent with what you can change. And I want you to find rest in areas where you can change. And here's the whole point. Proverbs 24:27 says this, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards, make thine house, build thine house. And let me tell you something. At New Life, we want to build your house. I want to build my house. I want to build my home. I want to build my boys, my relationship with my wife. I want to build my relationship with God. By the way, we want to build this house. We want to build the house of the Lord. We want this to be a place of rest. When you come to your house, you look forward to what? Kicking your feet up, right? Getting in your comfy clothes. You want to have rest. The house is the place of rest. Bless you. We're thankful for the place of rest to come in and feel safe and feel relaxed. But can I tell you something? The verse says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field. Don't long so much for rest that you're not willing to put the time in the field. Make it fit. Listen, come to your priorities and say, hey, what do I need to do? What do I need to plant? What do I need to sow? How do I need to renew? Am I just renewing physically or am I renewing spiritually? Am I renewing my relationship with God and others? Am I pouring in by worship and through commitment and community and small groups and all of those things? Am I renewing myself God's way, or am I sacrificing the house for the field? Am I robbing from rest because I want to get something done or gain another dollar? Am I willing to sacrifice the important for the urgent? Am I putting my greater priorities at risk for a temporary win? And let me illustrate it this way. A few years ago, I saw this news story and I didn't believe it, so I had to look it up. There was a guy who was wanting to buy a ticket, but he didn't want to spend the money to get on a train in Australia. So this is what he did.
We've seen some crazy moments caught on camera. Check this one out. That is a man on the back of a speeding train, 70 miles an hour. At the next stop, police arrested him. That's from Australia. You know, sometimes that's how we feel like we're coming to work.
At what cost? At what cost? So he didn't have to pay the $5, but he risked his life? The reason why we all think that's incredibly stupid is because he saved $5 and almost lost his life. He saved $5 and probably spent thousands of dollars trying to post bail. He saved something in the present, but lost something much greater. Can I tell you why this is such an important principle from Proverbs? Because the reason diligence is so valuable and the reason rest is so valuable is because life is so valuable. When we're not diligent, we're not stewarding life. And when we're not resting, we're not stewarding life. And productivity matters because life matters. And life matters because God created life and time is precious. And so there's ditches on both sides of the road. There's the ditch on the road that says, I just want an easy existence. I don't want to do the hard thing. I don't want to live the life making the investments that are uncomfortable. But there's also a ditch on the other side that says, I'm just going to do everything I can. And listen, I'm not preaching against overtime, but listen, sometimes we can sacrifice some greater priorities in family and in health and in the well-being of our soul for just a little bit more. And all I want to say is that all of us need to steward our priorities, because in the greatest moments of our life, when the priorities are completely clear and when we look at all of God's good gifts, we would trade all of our possessions for one more day, just a little bit more time. And when our kids are grown, we would trade all of the time that we spend at work for just one more moment when they're 4 years old. And priorities in life are seen in the rearview mirror a lot clearer than they are on the road. So let me just clarify it this way, and then we'll pray. That God has made us to renew through rest. If you're not getting enough rest, you got to make that a priority. And I'm not just talking about sleep. I'm not just talking about time off. I'm talking about time in His presence, entering into His rest. If you're all milk and no honey, that's a problem. But if you're all honey, no milk, that's a problem as well. There needs to be a moment where we balance God's good gifts, the gift of work and the gift of rest, through diligence. Where we are just as diligent about rest and renewal as we are about the purpose for our existence and our work. Let's pray. God, I ask that you'd please help every person in this room to recognize on this Labor Day that we can enter into your rest. But Lord, I pray that you would help all of those online, in person, maybe even those watching or listening later, to know that there will be no inner rest and there will be complete exhaustion as long as we are not at peace with you. And I pray that we would understand that until our hearts are at peace with God, there will be no peace in our relationships. There will be no peace in our souls. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if you're here and you're like, man, I just long to be at rest. I long to be at peace. But you've never had a moment where you have met the giver of peace, the Prince of Peace. There's only one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus, and He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No man is able to access the peace of God without going through Jesus. The entire Bible can be summed up with this one sentence, and that is that we can connect to God and have peace with God through Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. And friend, if today is the day that you need to meet Jesus, we want to introduce you to Him. You see, a relationship with God is not met through religion or religiosity or routine or even righteousness. Your own righteousness cannot get you there. No matter how good you are, you can never make up for the bad you've done. But Jesus came and He paid the sin penalty that you were meant to pay. And so friend, if you're here today or you're watching online, I want to give you the opportunity to receive the gift of grace. As we say here, the new life in Jesus Christ. He offers it as a free gift. So I want you to reach out to Him today and say, Dear Jesus, call out to Him. Dear Jesus, in your heart, in your mind, out loud, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Please come into my life. Be my Savior. you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, just now when you prayed that prayer, I believe, not the prayer, but the belief in your heart, the turning from your sin and turning to Him, gives you the eternal life as a gift of grace through your faith. So friend, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, that's the greatest moment of entering into a relationship that can ultimately give you rest. It's not something you could ever work for, but it's the finished work of Christ that I talked about earlier. So if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to pray for you. Would you raise your hand right now or let us know if online, please reach out to us. We want to know that. We want to pray with you. We want to praise God for that decision that you were able to make. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, don't be ashamed. Put your hand up. I'd love to pray for you. You say, I prayed that prayer. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else would say, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Receive Christ today. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, God spoke to my heart about rest or diligence. There's just something that I've been out of balance. I haven't been renewing the way that He has called me to, the way He's made me to renew. And I haven't been working in an area. I haven't been diligent in an area. I've been diligent in a lot of areas. I've been working hard in a lot of areas, but there's some areas of priority that needs my diligence, that needs my focus. And so I'm going to work this week to rest, renew, and to be diligent in the work that God has called me to. Let's take a moment, embrace this silence to talk to God and to have a moment of rest and renewal. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to come into your presence and to find true rest. Thank you for the invitation to come into your presence with thanksgiving, with boldness. Lord, to release our burdens to you, to daily praise you, to daily, God, walk with you, to have that fellowship with you that truly gives us the strength and truly gives us the relationship we need. Lord, to have the renewal in order to walk in our daily purpose, in order to live with diligence, stewarding the life that you've given to us. I pray that this would not be a message that would fall on deaf ears, but God, that we would live this in a difficult county to live this in. God, lots of commuters, lots of difficult work schedules here in LA County. But God, I pray that you would help us to not ignore your design, and that God, we would seek to enter into your rest daily, and that God, we would look for areas where we've slacked off, and that we would have diligence to steward the most important priorities. Pray that you give us the strength that we need. Renew those who are coming to you heavy laden. I pray that you would give them rest in their soul as a result of the time we've spent together. In Jesus' name, amen.